All right. Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday. Happy September. We are continuing our teaching series which we have entitled Great Stories Revisited. We're looking at some great and rather famous stories in the scripture, but from a little bit different angle. And today we're looking at Jesus himself, and it's short, but it is great. It's called The Pearl of Great Price. Let's read this. It's out of Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Ooh, I love the graphic Caitlin put up for me today. Okay, again, this is Jesus talking. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. In verse 46, yes, love that. All right, now, this is short, and a lot of times you read through the scripture and you read this and go, oh, that's neat, and just keep on going and don't even think about it. So I want to say a few things about this story, but I want to start first by defining what the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God means. Those two phrases used interchangeably in the New Testament. When most people hear the phrase the kingdom of heaven, they think, oh yeah, that's where I go when I die. Okay, that's not really what the phrase means. The kingdom of heaven is the realm where things are as God intended them to be. It's the realm where we experience unity with God and unity with each other. It's not just a there and then reality. It's very much a here and now reality, which is why Jesus famously taught us to pray, Father, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So that's the kingdom of heaven, just so you can get that in your mind. Now let's listen. Despite the fact that most people read this and they instantly, if I asked them, what is the parable about? They would say, well, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price. That's not what it says. I've read it like that for years. It actually says the kingdom is like a merchant. Now, this is surprising because the Greek word for merchant is emporos, which means wholesaler. It's probably a guy that was trying to sell people a lot of things they didn't need at prices they couldn't afford. Okay? We tend to view merchants in kind of a favorable light in our culture. That was not the case when this parable was written. Merchants are the ones who sold Joseph into sin. And the original hearers of this parable would have known that story. Merchants are the ones that Jesus drove out of the temple because their sales booths were clogging things up, making no room for the people to come in and worship and pray. Merchants were like shady used car salespeople back in the day. So for Jesus to say the kingdom is like a merchant seems like bad marketing strategy when you read this. Like, really? I'm not sure I want anything to do with the kingdom. And speaking, this is how my brain works as a youth pastor for too many years. Speaking of bad marketing strategy, when I was getting ready for this sermon, I came across two companies that had horrible marketing strategy. So I just want to share this with you really quick. They sell pens, nice pens internationally, but they tried to sell their pens to a Spanish-speaking country, and their motto is this: they won't embarrass you by leaking in your pocket. That's their great sales motto, which isn't that great, but whatever, okay? Well, the Spanish word they chose for embarrassed, and the slogan again is, they won't embarrass you by leaking in your pocket. The Spanish word they chose for embarrassed meant to impregnate. So their slogan read in this country, they won't impregnate you when you put them in your pocket. Okay, good to know. I'm not sure that's going to sell a lot of pins for you, okay? But here's my favorite. Kentucky Fried Chicken went to China, and you know their motto. It's finger-licking good. But they screwed up and lost something in their translation, too. And their slogan read, Kentucky Fried Chicken will eat your fingers off. It was literally this cannibalistic marketing strategy, okay? This parable, though, is not bad marketing when I studied it more. It's brilliant marketing, and let me explain. Jesus was brilliant with this, and I want to start with a story and a poem. There is a man named Lem Sisse, L-E-M-N, Lem Sisse, and he's a brilliant British poet. When he was 2 years old, he was put into the foster care system in Great Britain. Norman. He has this cool name, Lem, and they go, that won't do. How about Norman? That tells you a lot about this family already. When he was 12, they returned him back to the system because they said the devil has gotten into this child. Or puberty. Okay, that's what I was thinking. He ended up going from one abusive foster care system to another. So Lem knows what it's like to feel unwanted, less than, and disposable. Now as an adult, he actually fights for the rights of kids in Great Britain that are in the foster care system, and he speaks out against systemic racism. He loves people, especially people who feel like they've been discarded. It's called Some Things I Like. It's a poem that's actually not spoken, it's shouted. And I'm gonna shout it for you today because it's full of so much emotion, and I'll tell you what it has to do with the message in a second, but here it is. This is Some Things I Like. I like wrecks. I like ex-junkies. I like flunks and ex-flunkies. I like the way the careerless career. I like flat beer. I like people who tell half stories and forget the rest. I like people who doodle on important written tests. I like being late. I like fate. I like the way teeth grate. Blues. I like one bar blues. I like buttonless coats and leaky boats. I like rubbish tips and bitten lips. I like yesterday's toast. I like cold tea. I like reality. I like ashtrays. I write and like crap plays. I like curtains that don't quite shut. I like bread knives that don't quite cut. I like rips in blue jeans. I like people who can't say what they mean. I like spiders with no legs, pencils with no lead, ants with no heads, and worms that are half dead. I like holes. I like coffee cold. I like creases in neat folds. I like signs that just don't know where they're going. I like angry poems. I like the way you can't pin down the sea. Don't you see? I love that poem when I read it. That poem, the poet is rooting for the left out and the unwanted. And I believe Jesus cheers poems like these. That's why Jesus never said, "Come to me, all you who have your acts together, all you people that are just shiny and happy, all you super sharp people who are so perfect, you're convinced you don't even need me." Jesus didn't say that. But Jesus did say, "Come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are under heavy burdens, and I will give you." He also said, "The kingdom is like a merchant," because it is. The kingdom of heaven is full of people who know they are needy, full of people considered unwanted by others, because deep down in their souls, they know that God is rooting for them and has a place for them, because this God, just like Lem Sisse, like things that others reject. So of course, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. Of course he did. Now let's move on to the pearl. Let me say a few things about the pearl. Number one, the pearl in this parable is not a commodity. It's not a commodity, but other pearls were. They were the most valuable of that way until the 19th century when diamonds took over. So of course, merchants were seeking pearls. They were a quick ticket to wealth. So many people in the world right now that I'm around are trying desperately with all their strength to acquire pearls, so to speak. They spend so much of their life's energy trying to get as much wealth as they possibly can, thinking that will somehow fill the void in their soul. There's a comedian named Neil Brennan. I don't encourage you to watch his stuff unless you like swearing and lots of it, okay? If you do, and if you like the F word, you're gonna love Neil Brennan, okay? But he spoke recently about how messed up and materialistic our culture is. He says, we are so teachers come up to us and say, "Hey, can I interest you in an afterlife?" Most people respond and say, "Nah, I'll just keep taking my supplements and see how it goes, because how much better could it be?" And he's got a point there, okay? He's got a point there. We've been fooled into thinking stuff is enough. It's like we've all bought into a giant delusion, and it's so sad. There's a story, I've told many of you this, about Muhammad Ali, and I was not a fan of Muhammad Ali growing up, but he's considered the greatest boxer of all time. And because of his talents, he got incredibly wealthy, like wealth beyond your and I's wildest imaginations. And he got interviewed by this reporter one time, and It was fascinating. And at the end of the interview, Muhammad Ali says, I got to show you this. And he took him to a barn, probably bigger than this sanctuary. And there was all these tarps, and they were dusty, and pigeons had pooped on them, and there was just a mess in there. And the reporter goes, what's under there? And Muhammad Ali said, take a look. And he uncovered a bunch of the stuff. And it was paintings and trophies and medals, all this incredibly valuable stuff. And it just showed the wealth that Muhammad Ali had. And he was storing it all in a barn. And Muhammad Ali looks at him very sternly and just says, I had the world, and it was nothing. Part of the interview, materialism never leads to fulfillment. It always leads to more emptiness. Hear me really well. It's hard for us to hear this in our rich culture, but the more we project our soul's longings onto things, the more those things will disappoint us. Muhammad Ali, he learned that. Some people would say at this point, well, you're right, stuff's not enough. All I really need is myself. It's hard for me not to laugh when I think about that, okay? But that's how some people think. All I need is myself. There's this pastor that I greatly admire, read all her stuff, and she has a habit when she flies, she travels a lot, and she tries to never talk to the person next to her on the plane, and I'm the same way, this person that's stealing my armrest right now, okay? I just don't want to know you, I'm never going to contact you, just, I stay in my lane, okay? That's how I am. She's the same, but this guy was one of those guys that was just insistent on having a conversation. Are any of you, don't raise your hand, some of you are those people, aren't you? Yes, you are. I knew some of you are. Ah, okay. Well, this guy found out she was a pastor, and upon finding this out, he instantly said this to her, and I'll put it on the screen. I just don't need anything outside myself to bring me comfort and meaning. He said this to her, and she instantly thought the same thing I thought. Desperately. And she said, if I'm all I've got, that's like the most depressing thought in the world to me. I totally agree. We all need something outside of ourselves to bring us comfort and meaning. We're not wired to function in isolation. St. Augustine said we have an appetite for the infinite. We have something inside us that draws us to someone more than ourselves. Stuff and self-reliance will never cut it. We need what the merchant discovered. A pearl like no others. And I'll explain that in a minute. Second thing about this pearl, it changes things. Here's a merchant. He's trying to gather as many pearls as he can to get rich in order to turn a profit. Then he comes across one extraordinary pearl and he's transformed. According to the story, he's no longer selling pearls, he's keeping a pearl. So the merchant is no longer a merchant. It's like he saw this pearl and said, this is everything I never knew I always wanted. And he just kept it. He stopped the sales business. I want to show you, and again, I'll tie this into the message. I'm going to show you an album cover from the 1970s, because 70s music is the best. I don't care what anybody says, okay? Ziggy Stardust album, okay? If you've never heard this, just Google it, okay? This is David Bowie. And there's a song on the Ziggy Stardust album, the one he does at Carnegie Hall, too. That's about an alien comes down in the song and basically says to all the humans on Earth, you got 5 days, that's it. And then poof, you're gone. And I thought, after the fear, after the initial shock of going, whoa, an alien, and then the fear of going, whoa, end of my life as I know it, it would really clarify and declutter your life, wouldn't it? If you thought, I got 5 days, you'd get your priorities straight in a heartbeat. This is evidently what happened to the merchant in this story, not because of an alien, but because of a pearl. He got out of the rat race. He was no longer spending all of his time searching for riches and pearls. All he did was have one changed. And the last thing about this pearl, it was beautiful. Verse 45 says the merchant was seeking fine pearls. Again, in the original language in Greek, the word for fine is kalos, which actually means beautiful. So this merchant found a pearl of great value, and what made it so valuable? It's beauty. We are all seeking beauty. Think about your life. all of us spend quite a bit of time seeking beauty. It's why we go on hikes to waterfalls, because waterfalls are beautiful. It's why we plant flowers around our house and actually water them, because flowers are beautiful. It's why I have a rock collection. I know that sounds nerdy. I heard it, okay? But shiny rocks are beautiful. I believe with all my heart that the pearl of great price for us is this. It's a life lived in the awareness of and in intimacy with God. That's what the pearl of great price is, because that kind of life is beautiful. I'm rewatching a science fiction show, which is not normal for me. I don't watch a lot of science fiction, but I started it in COVID, and it's a British show. And in British shows, they get you hooked on one season, and then they don't release the next season for like 5 years. And that's what happened to me. So I've been waiting 4 years for season two to come out of the show. And season two is phenomenal. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because in the show is named Isla. And I'm going to give it away. So some of you already go, I've been watching that too, okay? She is the leader of this nomadic tribe. And this nomadic tribe is peace-loving and very much nonviolent. They're a nonviolent people in the midst of a violent world that they're surviving in. One of the outsiders who met her can't comprehend the fact that their people are never violent. It was a foreign concept to him. So he asked her, she asked him when she finds out about this, she asked him this, have you ever been in a battle? Have you ever picked up a weapon, a sword, a bow and arrow, an axe? And tell me, has your life been better or worse since you picked up that axe? And he did pick up an axe, and his life was worse for it. She then goes on to tell him about a tragedy in her life. She had a daughter, and her daughter went foraging in the woods, and some bandits came across her, and she had no gold, no jewels, nothing of any value except her life. Okay, that's all she had. When she found her daughter, she could tell that they had killed her for sport. And she said she sat with her daughter's body for hours, just staring at the broken spear that was protruding from her chest, trying to work up the courage to grab it and hunt down the beasts who had hunted down her daughter. Why didn't you go after them? And here is her reply. I'll put it on the screen for you. This is what Isla said. Because I wanted revenge. And what greater revenge against violence than peace? And what greater revenge against death than life? I had to pause the show and go, that's it. That's the pearl. That's a beautiful life. That's like a description of the pearl of great price for us. And check out what Jesus did right after he shared this parable. Right after he taught this parable to people, he went up to Mount Arabel in the wilderness, and a crowd arrives, and they're out in the passion on them, and he feeds them, and he heals them. Don't you see? First, Jesus told them the story about a pearl of great price, and then he showed people what that actually looked like. No wonder Duchovny said beauty will save the world, because it will. That's the power of the pearl. That's the power of us living beautiful lives. That's the power of us having compassion and healing people, having lives that get revenge on violence and death through peace and life. That's why I know this story's short, but it's great. Gene's going to come up now and lead us in a spiritual practice, and that's our habit, and we try to do that several times a month, message this short parable, and actually live it out in our lives. So Gene, take it away. Thanks so much. Thank you, Gene. That's so great, reminding us that this Jesus stuff is participatory. I'll send you on your way. First of all, a big thank you for all of you who participated in our Wine into Water. We reversed the miracle of Jesus last Sunday night at a concert, and we sold wine to raise money for Charity Water. We usually only raise around $220. We raised well over $1,000, so yay for that. So, yeah, I know. And we have 4 bottles of wine left over that I'm not going to use. We have some that I'm using for communion, so you can have some pretty good wine for communion in the next few months, okay? But if you would like to make a donation and you weren't at the concert, you can buy one of those bottles, or you can just make a donation, and I'll make sure all 100 water. So, and if you want a bottle of wine with that donation, just grab one, okay? Also, I wanted to let you know, we are obviously an affirming church here. We fully welcome into our presence and into positions of serving and leadership people from the LGBTQ plus community here. And we're also putting ads in the Daily Emerald and the Eugene Weekly in the next coming months because we want people from that community to know that there's a safe place to worship here that's not a very formal church. We're actually the only informal church in all of Eugene and Springfield that's affirming. Sad, but kind of cool. We're a unicorn, okay? And then lastly, I wanted to let you know supper clubs are coming. Every once in a while, we do these 6-week stints of small groups, and they're fantastic, where you go to a person's house, you have dinner together, you answer a few questions about the topic for that week that's usually based off the sermon, and then you pray together. And if you're an introvert, you don't have to worry. You don't even have to talk. You can just come and eat and listen. And the food has been like otherworldly, and we're starting to share our recipes. We're going to do that because this food is so great. You'll look forward to them. It's only 6 weeks long, so you don't have to sign up to be in this group for the rest of your living days, okay? So you're not trapped in them. I would highly encourage you to sign up. The sign-ups start next week, all right? Have a great